Hi, this is Mike.
Hello, people. This is Dave.
And hi, this is Matt, and you're listening to the Empty Spiral podcast, the official podcast of the Lacunical community. It is beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere I go, it's December, and I promise you, you will be hearing this before Santa comes down your chimney, not in a creepy way. It's 174 times, including this one, that we've been doing this. And yeah, it's December, and I can hear the jingling bells of sleigh bells on their way right now to all of the good little children around the world.
Well, that's not us.
Yeah, but we just buy our own shit, don't we? We don't need anybody else to bring it for us. We were just talking just before we started recording about merchandise. Anyway, guys, how are you? Dave, what have you been up to?
I've literally just walked in the door from a trip down to the capital to see the Hunger Games
live on stage. Musical.
No, it's not musical. Just a theatre production.
Oh, okay. Yes. Did you volunteer for tribute?
That's tempting. No, I did not.
Were any arrows fired? Sorry, shots.
Yes, don't fire an arrow. Several live arrows were fired.
Wow.
But I ducked.
You ducked, so, did you? Okay.
Yeah. No, it's a great production, actually.
Yeah.
Yes, it's really, really entertaining. Very thrilling, shall we say.
I quite like the book.
Yeah.
Although Katniss Everdeen is such a plonker. Really, she really annoys me as a character. I like the book. Sorry, you were going to say something.
I was going to say, did you like the film as well? Have you avoided those?
No, I watched the first one. I think I might have watched the second one. And then I think I just got lost track of them. I think I'm on my way to avoid them. They were never films that I saw at the cinema.
They were just there.
I mean, it's fine. They're absolutely fine. You know, yeah. I don't remember coming away from any of the ones I've seen and going, that's a terrible interpretation of the book. I've read the first three books. I don't know if there are any more than three. I'm pretty sure it was originally designed as a trilogy. I don't know. I'm not that close to the Hunger Games, if I want it, you know. So, but no, yeah. Enjoyed them. Did you read the books? Did you like the film?
You know what? I didn't. I'm not exactly a hardcore fan. I'm kind of along your same wavelength, sort of a casual observer. I think I've seen all the films. I know Carrie's read all the books, but I never did, so I can't really compare them. But even as a standalone, if you go and see the theatre production, it is really, really well staged. It's action-packed, so very, very enjoyable.
Awesome.
And fire, of course.
I mean, of course you need fire. How about you, Mike? How are you doing?
Good. It was our scout Christmas camp this weekend, so I went camping on Friday for the night.
Chilly.
Did you dress up as Santa and scare all the little boys?
No, they used to have a Santa thing. We don't do that now, but we did presents and things like that. But full Christmas dinner for them on yesterday.
What, was it over an open fire?
No. In
Turkey on our rotisserie.
We do like four huge mess tents joined together, and one of them's a cooking tent, one's a sleeping tent for them. And then we have a projector projected onto the tent so that when they all go to sleep, they can watch a Christmas film as they're going to sleep.
Oh, what's their watch?
Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Yeah, I can't remember. I think I was busy doing kitchen clear up once they were going to bed. But yeah, they seemed to enjoy it. And it was cold. Yes.
We've already had the Die Hard is a Christmas movie discussion, so we're not going to go there. I'm now beginning to see on the socials that Lord of the Rings is a Christmas movie.
What?
Because it's got elves and a guy with a beard. And I'm like,
that is the loosest argument ever.
Guys, you know, I feel like it at least should be set at Christmas.
Yes.
Although, so technically, this is showing my nerdism is, right? Okay. So, the calendar that Tolkien uses in the book is the Gregorian calendar.
Mm-hmm.
That is to say, you know, the dates of the months of the year are the same. Okay. And when Frodo goes to Rivendell in the first book, he stays there for a very long time because even though, you know, he's trying to stop the Dark Lord Sauron from taking over, he never did things quickly in The Lord of the Rings. So He basically goes to Riverdale and he stays there for about 3.5 months before he leaves. And he arrives there around the end of September, beginning of October. So basically he is there for Christmas.
Yeah. So there we go.
So they could have had a turkey dinner.
Yeah. Right.
With elves and Gandalf dressing up. Okay. So but there you go. So that's about as close as I think that they can justify this. I think that as far as projecting as you know a Christmas movie at the Scout Camp, I'd probably go with Elf.
Yes. Sorry if I would have been a bit funnier. But
yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, totally would have. Totally would have. But I think Elf. I mean, you probably couldn't have got away with Die Hard.
Yeah.
And as much as I like Muppets Christmas Carol, I think in those circumstances, Elf would have been there.
Well, we got a party on Tuesday night for the actual evening, so that might be, we might be showing something else, I think.
I feel like you should get like a papier-mâché Krampus that stalks through the camp once in a while.
Yeah, with a chainsaw. But what was even funnier, because it's December, we had one half of the campsite, and the other half was people doing like cosplay reenactment. So some of the parents went to the wrong side of the campsite expecting to, they thought they were coming to us, but they weren't. They arrived and there were lots of other people dressed up. Like, oh.
What were they dressed up as? What kind of
real? You couldn't really see from where we were. They were just in the distance. Like, oh, okay. They had swords and everything.
Oh,
like
okay. That. So
it was either historical or fantasy.
Yeah. Which was hilarious. You've got them on one side and us on the other side. And some of the parents went to the wrong one.
Amazing. Right. As for me, what have I been doing? I've been Christmas shopping. I've been nursing a cold. I've been watching Star Trek: A Brave New World, which I quite like. I've been doing a bit of painting.
Art painting or house painting?
Miniature painting.
Yeah.
So yeah.
The fun stuff.
The fun stuff. Yes, indeed. But yeah, that's about it, really. I'm not done any Christmas wrapping yet, actually. Which is, we're a week and a half away, and I feel like I'm behind the curve. You know, we've literally got 11 sleeps till Christmas. I think I'm going to have to get on the wiggle tomorrow.
Yeah, we've only got our tree yesterday, put the lights on it, and of course went out today, so it's still undecorated. We've just got the boxes of decorations strewn over various rooms with the lids off, and that's about it.
Mm. Yeah, we're all done on decorations. That's all done. I've not bothered with a tree this year in my man cave. You'll like this one because I don't have enough space because now I've got Rivendell up. I can't, but I haven't got a flat surface. So the space behind me is taken up by Lego rather than a tree. Oh, well.
Well, I've got both because of the space I've got is taken up by a Lego tree.
Genius. Why didn't I think of that? Maybe I could put some tinsel on Baragio. I mean, it is kind of tree-like, isn't it? So we sprinkle a bit of glitter over it.
I mean, Tolkien is obviously Christmassy, so
absolutely, as we've already discussed about it being a Christmas movie. Right, let's talk about Lacuna Coil, shall we? I think we've only got a couple of bits of news. As of this week, there is now a UK store for merch. So that increases the number of Lacuna Coil stores to 4. We've got the European store, which I think runs out of Germany.
Yeah.
If the email is to go by, which is always in German. We've got the North American store, we've got the Latin American store, and we've got the UK store. So, still not perfect for the whole world, but unless you end up with a store per country, we've got quite a few bases covered, haven't we, really? And obviously,
yeah, I'm hoping the UK store is in our favour as far as postage costs go now.
Well, it can't be any worse, can it?
It's the Royal Mail, so never say never.
Yeah. You won't pay a lot, but you won't necessarily get what you ordered.
Yeah, about that, it might never arrive, yeah.
It's that last mile. It's always the most challenging mile, isn't it? So, which is it's good, though. I bought myself one of the black metal beanies. I bought that today, which I mistakenly not bought when I put my order in on the European store. Don't know why. Oh, I remember why. Because it would have taken me over a tax limit.
Yeah, which is exactly why I didn't buy one as well.
I was like, right, okay, I'm not going over that limit because I'm not going to get screwed over again. So I
was kind of limited to the Christmas jumper and one other thing.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much what I did, mate. In fact, yeah, I think one was I got a Christmas jumper. I've got the black metal T-shirt which I'm wearing, and I got a Christmas bauble. Yeah. And I think that just got me underneath the import duty limit. So I thought, right, okay. So I bought the black metal beanie, and I found another beanie today. I think I must have about 6 Lacuna Core beanies. It's quite a lot of beanies, I think, of that. And yeah. So too many beanies. And only 2 of them are the floppy Smurf ones. So whatever we call them.
The condom head.
Yeah, the condom head. Okay. The next bit of news has come out very, very recently. In fact, today I come upon Lacuna Core's social feed. It's apparently we're going to get Host in the Shadow video coming up soon. Bit of a surprise. Nice little present for Christmas.
Yeah, like revisiting one of the earlier singles.
Because it was, they probably did a lyric video, didn't they? I suspect.
Yeah.
It's nice to get a video. I like when they get a video, even for a song that we've spun out for a while. I think it's quite good from a marketing perspective as well, in that kind of, you know, those people who might not have seen the album come out, maybe not Lacuna Core fans, but, you know, I guess it partly depends on whether Randy's in it and whether it kind of hits the, it's those socials as well. I think it's great. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing when that's out and whether, when it's out and who's it by and what the theme is.
Especially bearing in mind the last few videos they have made. I mean, they really have been going all out. It's not one of these bog standard performance videos. There's, you know, they make an effort with the storylines and the visuals.
Yes.
So high hopes for this as well.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. Yeah. I think all the videos we've had so far from Sleeper's Empire have been top quality, haven't they, really?
Yeah. Mini movies.
With an obvious standout being I Wish You Were Dead, because that's pretty crazy. There we go. And the final bit of news is that we're now starting to see Lacuna Core sort of gear up for 2026. We thought that 2025 was going to be there. Excuse me. We thought that 2025 was going to be the very busy year, possibly followed with a bit of a rest. But it looks like they're doing a lot of the festivals as well as some early tours in the new year. Sort of, you know, heading over to Dubai and then kind of carrying on east all the way over to Australia and bouncing around Australia for a week and then Japan and then kind of coming back to the European shores for like Grassbart and now Nayfest, which is on the 5th of which actually the 3rd to the 5th, but from what I can tell they're playing on Sunday the 5th of July in France. So if you're in that part of the world, then take the opportunity to head over to Nayfest or Cave Fest, AAVE. I guess that's Cave, right? Cave Fest. All right, Cave Fest it is. That's it. It is now.
I am getting a little bit worried that they're taking the title Sleepless Empire a little too literally in terms of workload, because they're building this empire around the album. And from what I gather, I mean, how many days off have they not had? In between all these tours, they must be completely sleepless.
Yeah, they must be completely sleepless, and they're not spring chickens anymore. As much as we want to keep these people immortally young in our hearts, and we do, you know, people grow up and they gain a few years, and I'd imagine this is quite a hard grasp, this touring lug. But I think that's the only way to stay on top of the money situation. I would have thought that's basically what your job is, isn't it? Really, to bring out albums and then play those albums to people across the world.
For which we are grateful.
For which we are eternally grateful. So that's it on the news front. So we're going to do something a bit different today. So when we were all together on tour, we recorded a podcast. We recorded the podcast in Newcastle, that's my London accent introduced an extra R unnecessarily into the name. It was recorded in the travel lodge that we were staying at, in the bar at about 3 o'clock in the morning after we'd just come from the concert via way of a few hours in the pub and probably at least 45 minutes in a pretty big kebab place, right? That really knew how to throw together a kebab and extras. So we'd done all of that. We've had a few beers and very cheap rum and coke. And then we navigated our way back. Actually, frankly, I jumped in an Uber. And we got all back to Travelodge. And then we decided, whilst sipping a little bit of a nightcap, to record just us talking. So I guess we're just gonna let's just roll it and see what happens. All right, so we're recording a podcast.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Hello.
What time is it?
2:15.
2:15.
You're gonna have to edit this.
Oh, this is raw and unadulterated.
What point do we wave?
You can wave like the
camera. Hello.
It's 2:15 a.m. We're in Newcastle.
And this is the Empty Spiral Podcast.
This is the Empty Spiral Podcast. This is episode, I have not a fucking clue what episode is. We've got Mike and Dave.
And Jane.
And
Jane.
And a Lego
Here's
Jane.
Here's to Jane. Off.
Here's to Jane.
And we've just come from a fast food place called Stuff It. And we've all had lots and lots of drinks.
We only went to Stuff It because Master Wang was closed.
Master Wang's Noodles, which was our favourite place that we never went.
I wanted to go to Master Wang.
I'm sorry, you couldn't. He was closed.
It was closed.
From what I understand, you never want to go to Master
Wang. No, I don't. I don't feel I do.
So we...
Scissoring.
Whoa, come on. Now, that bit I will.
Steady, steady.
Right. Scissoring Mr. Wang. Well, Mrs. Wang, so. Oh,
edit this whole section.
Anyway, so...
Hi, this is Mike.
This is Mike.
This is Mr. Wang.
This is Shane.
Just, whatever you say next is going to go live. I'm just telling you right now.
Yeah.
You need to know this.
I'm Jane.
So Emma is probably drunk on this ride. Or high on Jane Austen. I don't know which one it is.
High on Jane Austen.
High on Jane Austen.
Always.
And we're currently sitting in a travel lodge. Which has a bar open at 2 a.m. And I'm quite frankly, I think I'm in love with Newcastle.
I think I am, actually.
I think I genuinely
I want to move here.
I do.
Purely because of the early hour of drinking.
So let's be clear.
I like the people here. I like the accent. The
tune.
Yeah,
the accent's great. The town's good.
I like the bridges.
I like the car. You like the bridges.
Yeah, I quite like a Newcastle bridge.
And even though it's new, I like the castle.
Yeah,
I like the castle.
I like the castle. I like the Black Gate.
I like Forbidden
really
Planet.
You like Forbidden Planet and Travelling Man.
Yeah.
I really liked the £2.25 per pint beer.
Yeah, we've
did.
Had
several of those.
Cheers. Salute. Salute.
Salute.
Salute.
Skol.
Skol to Jane Austen. And I also really, really like the £1.99. Rum and Coke.
Oh, I quite like that, actually.
What the hell is
with
that
the
all
cherry
about?
Coke, though. Get it right.
Yeah, get it right.
Yeah, get it right. That was very good.
So, we're 4 shows in.
Mm.
I'm very sad.
2/3 of the way through.
2 left.
If you want to put maths, that's true.
Yep, we do.
James.
So we've...
Where's the maths?
We've seen Southampton. We've seen Norwich. We've seen Leeds. And we've seen...
Newcastle.
You are some
Newcastle. Don't take the piss.
It was quite a nice venue, with though, wasn't it? I really liked the venue.
So I've seen it. Yeah, it was a student union, and it felt like another day it would have involved basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But on this day, it involved Nonpoint and Lacuna Court.
I
really
like
liked
the
it.
Disco ball.
I did see the disco ball.
I never noticed that.
It was
above
not,
us.
It was not very impactful in my life,
no,
but I can appreciate why there was.
It didn't. It didn't make an appearance this evening, but I liked it.
For the record, what you're hearing in the background is Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
Right, just in case anybody doesn't know who Bon Jovi is, I'm just saying. We are not doing karaoke. Just well, I mean, you can. It's fine. Shut through the. Anyway, right. What did you think of the show today?
Not to blame. I thought it was amazing. I thought in all of the shows that we've seen, it was probably the loudest and most engaging.
What made it loud and engaging? Don't say the
volume.
The volume.
No, I just think there was a. It was probably one of the biggest venues that they played.
It was the biggest capacity,
and it just felt like there was a lot more raw to it. To be fair.
Heavy bass,
Mike,
works
what,
well.
What did you think, Mike? Did it hit you like a steam train?
Or even a freight train, yeah.
Or, I mean, I'm not going to judge trains of any kind. So.
No, I think out of the show so far, it's my favourite. Looking around the crowd, interaction was quite merry at some points.
Yeah. I think even for Nonpoint as well.
Nonpoint, I think, has helped that they had a day off.
They're growing at me.
Yeah, and they had a day off
and doing a headline show at the Underworld, which has given them the extra lift.
Yeah, yeah.
End of the tour vibes. It's been a long, long tour. And
so, I mean, the band are tired, we know that, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I generally believe that they seem to throw themselves into it.
They're growing.
More than ever, yeah.
Yeah, they're growing in energy levels. Even though we're
Andrea's
getting
all
towards
over the
place,
the
end.
Like bopping around.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's very, very bouncy.
It is very bouncy. Yeah. And I think that they've reached a point of confidence with the set list and what they're doing, that they're just having fun. Like, you see Danny just...
And you say the set list as well. It's like Danny is not the new kid in the town.
He's loving it.
And he's loving it. The set list as well, if you go and see the show, is a mix of new stuff... Very old stuff. Well, not super old, but Kill the Lights back on there. And
Spellbound. Do you notice, yeah, actually, it's interesting because last year, you remember at Bournemouth, and some of the crowd were calling out, play Spellbound, play, and Creed did a little interlude, yeah, the a cappella.
Yeah.
And Danny's face just dropped because it was like, I don't know this. Yeah, I can't play this. Please, please don't play this. And now they're playing it.
Yeah, because he's had a year to rehearse.
Yeah, no, I know, I know. Yeah, it's just funny how that transition to like the joke almost before, and now he's in.
Yeah.
I've got video footage of you singing along.
Yeah,
I did sing along. But I make up my own lyrics for Spellbound. So does Jay.
So what are they?
I can't remember.
Yes, you can.
Move along.
It's just,
move along.
It's obviously embarrassing, and
it's,
I want to dig.
Why must they keep playing Spellbound?
And then it goes west.
It just goes, yeah. Favorite song? Emma.
What, off the set list?
No, just generally in life. Of course, off the set list.
In Number of Padre, I think, with the red lights and the stage presence and doing it.
As a photographer, I hate the fact it's red lights.
Yeah, of course you will. But as a live setting for the first time, they've done it on this tour, and I hope that it stays on the set list because I think that it works very, very well.
For me, I absolutely love I Wish You Were Dead. And so I really enjoy it, seeing it with the dagger.
With the prop.
The diamond dagger.
You didn't use that in Milan.
So I know when a Partridge.
I Wish You Were Dead.
Wish You Were Dead, Dave.
I kind of agree with I Wish You Were Dead because it's a party song. And playing it in the encore, it's like a running for the home straight. So it does really, it's like a, well, yeah, party song. Yeah. So I do like that. But... the fact that they open the encore with a siege,
I
think is great. If nothing else, for the fact that, you know, the hand waving, the crowd interaction, that's replaced tightrope, which they did. So it's interesting that sort of swap over.
So I've got two, and I'm not going to apologise for that because they're right after each other. So I noticed it specifically this evening. Swamped gets a huge reaction. It's like a happy song for everyone.
Yeah.
And I look back and I looked at the crowd today, and I think reflective on it, I've seen the crowd in other shows. Do you know this song? And suddenly Swamp kicks in and everybody's singing along, everybody's loving
Which,
it.
Which is that unusual or not?
I don't know if it's unusual, but it for this
super
this
old.
Set,
super
yeah,
old.
Yeah, it's an old song. And for this set list, it just feels like everybody...
Like common ground?
Yeah, no, I think the Lacuna Core shows are one of those ones where, you know, like any live show, over the course of the hour and a half that they play, people get into it. And I feel like Swamped is at the perfect time in the set list where everybody's like, I'm singing along to this, I know this song.
With the common denominator of the note, like if you threw Honeymoon Suite, there'd be four people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and they're not going to rock up and play Virtual Environment, nor is the pity. But my point is, at that late in the set list, Swamp just works. Everybody's
it. It gives the opportunity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I feel tonight was the really biggest
the lift.
Energy. See, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You could see just how much fun everybody was having.
And it gives them the lift as well.
And then my follow-up song, and I'll be perfectly honest with you,
When I first heard this song, I thought, this is a good song. It's an okay song. I like this song. But it's grown on me so much. And it's the last song, Never Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking love that song. And when they, just that, the reprise, you know, the refrain, and then the reprise, and just, what a great
song. How much better does it work live, though, than on the album? Or certainly as a single when it came out? Because when it was first released, I really did have reservations in that there's... It wasn't strong enough taster of new music.
This is, I am generalising, but I think the best Lacuna Core songs are like when they just grow live.
Yeah.
They just become...
It's growing on me.
Yeah.
Growing on me.
I hope that the Never Dawn is just a great song. I love it so much. I think it's...
And the visuals, actually, when it's the build-up to it.
I love all Sleepless Empire, the album.
There's no Gooseberry on it.
But yeah. Never Dawn, I just love that rising epic, the lyrics, the way it rises and drops and rises again. I love it. So you get... The ideal is you come away from the Lacuna Core show with a smile on your face.
And you
I think that Swamped and Never Dawn back to back give me that smile.
Mixture of old, past, and the present.
It's interesting to say that, wanting more, and I think that is what everyone always walks away from at the end of a live show. It's like, I want to do it again.
Yeah. I like the anticipation to know when everyone's going to say run as well.
Tonight
it was a bit more like refined, wasn't it? And I was like, wow. But last night was a bit like run.
I still can't get it right.
What I will say, given how generally pacey, I do think the beginning of the set is a bit slow for me.
You
said it yourself when we reviewed it. Like, Reckless is actually quite a slow song, isn't it? If you think about it,
Layers of Time as well.
You said Blood, Tears, Dust, didn't you?
I do think every show needs a song that just brings you down. It's a chill out song.
Because otherwise you'd be like, ooh.
And in this we have Downfall, and it's amazing.
Don't talk to me about Downfall.
All right, we're not going to talk about Downfall.
It's a very emotional, driven, difficult, beautiful song.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love hearing it, but it hits me every single time.
Today it brought tears to my eyes.
But that's a good thing.
It's a very good thing. It's a very good thing. But it's been
on the set list as well.
Yeah.
So as modern as it all is with all the new stuff, to revisit stuff like they are doing now, to mix the old with the new.
I loved it. It's a really, really interesting set list when you break it down. You've got, like, they could have just thrown in and made every single song a Sleepless Empire song. But they did. And to be fair, you know, there's a few songs I wish they played from Sleepless Empire. But I don't, there's nothing.
Next tour.
Do you reckon they'll swap around the Empire songs and take some of these out?
I think they will from next year, because they'll heavily promote the album with a new tour cycle. So the States, I can see that they'll do some of it and swap two or three of them out.
Okay,
long-term.
So big question, what are they going to kick out? What would you want them to kick out of the ones they're playing now?
Oh, that's a hard question.
That is a very hard question.
I think In the Meantime, maybe, you could kick that out.
Yeah,
In
the Meantime's
not one of my
favourite
songs. I mean, it's a good song. It's a good single release. But I would absolutely...
I think the trap that... Not a trap, but I think that the thing that is different in the musical releases now is that we had so many singles came out, which is a modern way of doing things. But what was left that we didn't hear as singles that came out was the meat of the bones of what we'd already heard. And whether...
Do you know, nothing you just said there might make sense to me.
Oh, you can edit that.
And it might be, it might be
really
the cheap
album.
So how many singles do we have that came out before the album? Six?
Six.
So what I'm saying is, you had six singles that came out, which is unusual for Lacuna Core. We maybe get two or three.
And if but they didn't play all six of them in the show.
No,
I find it interesting.
Yes,
they do.
Oxygen, Gravity, Wish You Were Dead.
In the meantime.
Never Dawn.
Never Dawn.
Oh crap.
Gravity.
No,
they say that.
Or
is it?
Host in the Shadow.
So what I'm saying is that they had the six.
It's raw.
So the six came out, but that's a modern thing of artists releasing a lot of singles more than anyone used
to. So what would you have? Okay, so we talked about what you would take out.
In the meantime, and Host in the Shadow for me. Because,
ooh, no, you don't want to lose
it. No, Host in the Shadow.
Because it's. It's such a huge chorus. You really need that, and I think Andrea has a good performance in that.
Well, you could throw anything in there to replace it. With.
What would you put in there?
Well,
Scarecrow.
Yeah, they've not done
see,
that.
I don't see Sleepers Empire. The song is too slow for me.
But Scarecrow, they could open with Scarecrow.
What would you do?
I wouldn't open with Layers of Time that they're opening with currently.
No, but what would you? Okay,
I like that as an opener purely because of the first.
Oh,
I think it's a great beginning.
It's a good beginning, but
I think Scarecrow definitely needs to be on the list.
What else? What else left?
Well, Sleepless Empire, like you said, maybe. Where would you put that?
Instead of Downfall?
Possibly.
I don't think it's a live song, Sleepless Empire. It's a good album track.
But then you could go further back, like we said before.
No, it's got to be from Sleepless Empire.
What okay, left? Okay.
Or you've got a sleep.
Sleep paralysis.
Sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
Yes. I think it's yes. So it is interesting.
It's interesting. Cree announces Host in the Shadow with Randy, but not In the Meantime with Ash.
Oh yeah. Stop doing that.
That happened on the last tour cycle.
I think that's just a reflection of how well she knows Randy.
Yeah,
because they've known him forever. Randy Blythe forever.
Yeah. It makes sense.
It still confuses people, though, in the crowd, because you can hear the gasps. As soon as she starts to say, we've got our friends, and like Randy Blythe, and everyone goes, like they're waiting for him to come on stage every single last time there's someone
little,
there.
I do think that's a little dangerous because you raise people's expectations.
Yeah. Last tour, announced it like it was happening. The same with
frankly,
that.
Frankly, I think Andrea's performance on Host in the Shadow is awesome.
Yeah.
I don't miss Randy.
No, I don't. I think he
You could argue the same within the meantime that... In the meantime, really.
Yeah, but there isn't another female vocalist on stage.
Well, you had Ash when we were on the tour.
But my point is, Lacuna Coil is made up of one female vocalist and one male vocalist. In Host in the Shadow, you've got one female vocalist and one male vocalist.
Yeah.
So, and I think that Andrea does a really good job of doing the vocals on Host in the Shadow.
Yeah.
Whereas, for In the Meantime, you really need to use a recorded track from Ash Costello. Yeah. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, I'm just saying it's different. So to sort of say, right, Randy Blythe recorded the original, but Andrea's singing it. I don't miss Randy Blythe.
I think Andrea does an amazing job.
But I would love Sleep Paralysis, but that's because Sleep Paralysis reminds me of Inner Reverie songs.
It's got I think that if she sang that, it'd be, I don't know, it'd be...
But she goes strange. She goes so high.
Well, she couldn't do it for a tour. She goes so high. Although when I've spoken to her before, she says that singing stuff that is super, super high like that's a piece of cake.
Easier.
Versus singing, here I am again. The lower stuff, she finds harder.
So what about Heaven's Alive?
To drop or...
Could you drop it?
Enjoy the Silence, but...
no one misses Enjoy the Silence. We've all sung along to it and enjoyed it. But Emma misses it,
misses it.
Dave misses
it's
it
It's been
most.
Redundant for 15 years.
I think it's a crowd pleaser, but going back to my point earlier... Swamped was a crowd pleaser.
Swamped
was an amazing crowd pleaser.
I think that proves my point, though. They don't need Enjoy the Silence because they've got their Swamped.
Yeah.
And it was a lie, actually, to be fair.
But they've also got the 119, if you really want the pop. But I think that the ship has sailed for, to me, anything Karma Code. Well, after Karma Code stuff now is that ship sailed.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I
it's interesting like they're not doing Our Truth.
If you threw Fragile or To the Edge or anything on there now, I think how many people know those songs?
I don't know. I think there's still a lot.
I think there's an element of that.
I guess.
20 years old.
What would I want to see on? Okay. We always go here. We always end up in the perfect set list. But if you could go around the table, if you could remove one song and replace it with another song, what would that song be? Emma, you go first.
Come back to me.
All right. What would you?
I would put 119 back in. Because I think that is, I know it's very, very old school, but I fucking love it. And I honestly think if they played it more, it could have been an anthem on the scale of Heaven's Light.
Okay, so what would you take out for that?
Literally anything.
Right.
I think in the meantime, I think that's perhaps the weaker of the new songs
because
the live set.
Randy versus Ashley.
Yeah.
Mike, what would you take out and what would you replace it with? They don't do a song call.
No, I'm thinking.
You're not allowed to think. React!
Come on.
I'm thinking.
It's only 2:45. You got this.
I'm thinking.
All right.
You go. Have you got something in mind?
Firstly, I wouldn't take out any of the Sleepless Empire.
No.
Because this is a Sleepless Empire tour.
Okay.
So I wouldn't take out in the meantime.
That's fair.
I'd leave them all in. I would probably take out Intoxicated. Got nothing against Intoxicated, but I don't think it's needed. And I would put in...
Has Intoxicated been any kind of... like major fan favourite that you're aware of?
No, I don't think it has. It's a good song. It's a fun song.
No, I was curious as to the reason it was reintroduced.
I think it's a mix. Like, you look at the set list, like Blood Tears will stay there for a long time.
Yeah.
Die and Rise.
Yeah.
Good.
I tell you, there's a song that I just love live. And I would remove Intoxicated and I would replace it with The House of Shine.
House of Shame needs to be in there. That is my all-time favourite.
It's a fucking awesome song.
It is a banger.
It's an absolute banger.
Yeah.
And there you go. There's my choice. Remove Intoxicated and replace it with House of Shame.
Can I have House of Shame and 119?
Yeah, sure you can. I'm not... Cool. Yeah. It's a wish list. Anyway, okay, so we've answered.
I think I'd quite like to see Live to Tell do a little spin, to be honest.
Oh, that's a
great
song.
Yeah.
So I've never gelled with that.
I really gelled with it. I'd quite like to see that do a little spin and probably take out... I really like the song.
It's still a cover, though, isn't it?
It is still a cover, but would take that out in the meantime.
That would be interesting to do, like, to open the encore with. Because it's like that slightly curveball position of a song.
Yeah.
It's like when they did Virtual
Environment. There were three of us. What was going on?
There's like three people in the crowd.
Me, you, and Russell.
But I thought that was amazing when they did that.
That was great. It's an amazing song. I love Virtual Environment, but especially the bagpies in the beginning.
Really it's the whole thing though, isn't it? Like when they did The Secret years ago on Honeymoon Suite, and it's like... It's a defining thing, like I said before. Karma Code, you've got the line with Karma Code, and you've got then Delirium, and you've got two different school sets.
So here's a question: Senza Fina.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a question; it's just a name.
No, for me, what they should have done is you've got Comalize XX. They should revisit Unleash Memories, maybe, and have a modern day twist on Senza Fina and everything else. It's a very, very controversial. It's a
controversial thing for me. Yeah, at the table,
can you imagine though?
I mean, you might as well say to me, just put Current Obsession played with the 19 show in every single set.
Yeah.
But no, because it's special.
For a one-off, that you might never hear it ever again.
I don't need it every time. I don't hear it at all.
So I thought, Spellbound, throwing Black Feathers, Kill Ball.
Okay. Everybody knows how I feel. Even the band know how I feel about Spellbound. I mean, you've seen some of the.
Oh, we've all been there.
Yeah, we.
So
we,
Jane.
Everyone. Knows, but actually.
Is it growing on you?
No, it's not. Oh. Well, athlete's foot like grows
moss on a stone.
Yeah. Rolling stone. It's clearly a crowd pleaser.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take out. I've said other songs that I would take out. Spellbound is not one of them. It's not my favourite song. It's not my favourite song. I think they've become. I want to say better at singing it live. I think it doesn't feel as painful for me as it used to. It's a very sing-along song, isn't it? The lyrics are really easy.
Yeah. And I haven't passed out once.
And, Emma's not passed out, so...
I'll catch you.
It's a really interesting inclusion, isn't it? I don't deny it. I'm okay with them having Spellbound on the set list.
You'll let them have it this time.
This is one tour. The set list is really interesting. It's not in the least bit predictable, this set list.
Kill the Light, for me, is the one thing that I've really thought is amazing. If they had, like, Fragile to the Egg in there as well, be bang bang, creme de la creme.
Yeah.
Because Downfall is a good song, but a bit of a like
downer.
No. It needs that.
You need to have a pause.
If I could replace Downfall with another song, it'll be My Spirit.
I was going to say My Spirit. Yeah, My Spirit.
Yeah.
You need that moment.
I love that.
Need that moment.
Reflection.
I love my spirit.
You're looking at me like you don't believe me, or you don't know.
A teary one, equally the same. All right.
I need a wet floor sign for the amount of blubbering you've been doing.
Literally cried my way through it so far.
We're gonna take one of those little yellow
floor signs.
Just stand it.
Just put it by me.
About that could be slippery
when we're back to enjoying it again.
Okay. As a wet. All right. Okay. How long we?
Too long.
Half hour.
All right. So, final reflections on the set list, Mike.
What out of 10, or just in general?
Whatever rating you want, or you can just talk about it.
I think they've thrown a few curveballs in there. Like I say, Kill the Light for me is—it's incredible that it's back on after so long. And if they're going to have that train of thought of mixing old and new, it'll be interesting long term next year if they do the same new tour cycle. Whether they throw that out, throw something else of that era. I don't think they'll go earlier. I think it's too old.
Alright, Dave?
They've got such an incredible arsenal of songs that they could swap out so many that are similar to each other that it will still create the same pace. And I think this set list, possibly above any other, has got the best pace that I've experienced. I really, really do think it flows absolutely perfectly. So song-wise, is you can debate that because you can swap them out and still create the same feeling. So I think they've got it pretty much spot on. Personal choices would fluctuate, but the end result is going to remain the same. So I've got no complaints whatsoever, other than it goes too quick. Because you start off 5 minutes later, the set's over, and you think, what the hell happened?
That's because you're loving it so much. Man.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's still playing. Exactly.
But it is about the pace.
Yeah. Right, Emma?
I've really enjoyed the, like, as we said, going back to the old and going to the new and going happy and sad and energetic and all the emotions that you could possibly think of. We've kind of, I think the set list really kind of hits all of those targets there, and I've really enjoyed it. And as Dave said, obviously it's over too quick. You start, you finish, it's like, where did the time go? But I really enjoy the fact that it's like a mixture of different eras, and it takes you to all different emotions across the whole way. It's like a story, and I like that.
Yeah, I agree with you. In fact, I agree with all of you. It's a Sleepless Empire tour, so you'd expect there to be a number of Sleepless Empire songs, and we get them.
Yeah.
Tendency to be towards the middle to the end of the set list that we actually get the Sleepless Empire tours. I think they put a lot of thought into this set list, actually, and there are a few surprises in there. I did not look up the set list, even though we could have done, because we're near the end of the run. I did not look at the set list
before. Yeah, I did. I spoiled it.
You spoiled yourself. Yeah. I didn't. So, the first show at Southampton, I honestly say this, did not have a clue what was coming. And I was surprised. And I think it's a really good mix. There are a few surprises in there. And you're right, they've got, for a Lookinical fans, they've got such an arsenal of catchy songs in every album that goes back, you know, 20 plus years, more that we could swap every song out and still be happy. But for a Sleepless Empire, I think they nailed it. And they ended with Never Dawn, and I'm known for that.
Very good tour.
We've got two more shows left. Andiamo. And apparently we're going to bed. All right, there you go. Until next time. Bye.
Ciao.
So, I don't think I can really apologise for what you've just heard. It was a good discussion about the set list, right, guys? You know, we kind of talked about what we liked, what we didn't like, what we keep on and keep off. And we probably need
I mean, some of it was coherent.
So, yeah, we probably need to explain Jane, don't we?
No.
I feel like anybody who wasn't with us, and even a few people that were with us over the course of the tour, are probably wondering what the hell all this Jane stuff is about. I
do kind of apologise for this.
Yeah, I think the root is you, really. Well, yeah, the root is you. So it's come out a couple of times in the podcast, but aside from me liking lots of different things, I actually quite like the works of Jane Austen, the seminal English authoress, arguably the one of, if not the most influential female author of all time, certainly in the English language. And Mr. Lego there, Matt, there, Mr. Jolly, bought me a Jane Austen tribute Lego set for my birthday, and he delivered it in Southampton. I was very excited to receive this, honestly. I really, really was. And I made the promise that I would bring her back on tour so that she could enjoy some of Lacuna Call. And if you follow me on Instagram, you would have seen some of the result of that. For the record, not that I'm pointing at it right now, but you can see it's over there. Okay, Jane is nestled between Rivendell and Barad-dûr. Okay.
Pride of place.
Pride of place over there. So, anyway.
So Jane was basically tour mascot.
Yeah, so Jane was tour mascot. Where was it? Was it Norwich or was it might even be Southampton where Emma made her own Jane, or you made a Jane for her?
Yes, I mean, I think there was a certain amount of jealousy going on.
Oh, why wouldn't there be? Jane Austen, hello.
Yes, and so for you having Jane, but the fact that you didn't bring Jane back like the very next day.
I know, right, that was...
prompted us to find the nearest Lego store and see if we could create an alternative Jane Austen out of Lego.
Which worked, although you lost me at the camera.
More or less worked. The camera was a nod towards you, because obviously you're the official unofficial Lacuna Call photographer, always seen down in the pit.
In my dress and early 19th century hairstyle. Yeah.
Not dressed as Jane, although perhaps you should now dress as Jane Austen.
Perhaps I won't ever do that, but thank you.
I mean, we haven't seen that yet. But no, the Jane, the second Jane minifig, Lego minifig, had the camera because she was going to take photos on tour,
right,
for us. That was the
it
mad
makes so much
concept.
More sense.
I mean, it doesn't exactly sound sane now. No, we're discussing it afterwards. No, it but at the time, it was a good giggle.
It was a very good giggle, and there was a little bit of a rivalry, I think it's fair to say, between the two Janes.
There was even a stop motion animated fight.
There was a stop
between
motion
the two
animated
Lego Janes.
It was indeed. It was indeed. Although he did the right thing and made sure the original Jane won at the end of the day. But yes, there was a fight. And she made quite a few friends on tour, actually. There were quite a few people that wanted to see Jane. And we even in Cardiff. The crew of the venue they'd made themselves backstage and in sort of the entrance to the exit at the back, the sort of merge fire exit, there was this little box with where someone had recreated the crew, or the local crew, in Lego. So Jane went and got her picture taken with them, of course. I can post those later. And of course, in the meet and greet in Brighton, Jane got to meet the band, which was a very, very special treat. And I haven't posted the pictures yet. I really ought to post the pictures of her meeting the band. They were quite excited to meet her. Although the highlight for me was Andy going, "Who's Jane Austen?" Which left me speechless. And then they went, I said, "I know who Steve Austen is."
Very different.
Not the same person. Not the same person. And I then tried to explain who Jane Austen was, but I think his attention span was about 3 seconds. He's like, "Okay, thanks, man.
Yeah, I'm tired."
Yeah. So wasn't really that interested to learn who Jane Austen was. But yeah. Anyway, that is the story of Jane. So that's why at the beginning of the recording, there's lots of Jane moments coming from Emma, who was probably quite drunk at the time. Anyway, a little bit of explanation needed there. I hope you enjoyed us drunk at 3 o'clock in the morning talking about Lacuna Coil. It was what it was. Right, now that's out of the way. And we'll probably do it again at some stage in the future. So, you know, you get what you pay for on this podcast. We are now going to review the next song off of Sleepless Empire, I Wish You Were Dead.
I wish you were dead inside of my head, a particle of dust that slowly disappears.
Oh, is it probably my turn to go first?
It is. You haven't gone first for a long time.
I think it probably is my turn, isn't it? Okay. All right. So I actually don't have a lot to say about this song, other than it's just a fun single song. Okay, it's very short, 2:52. Okay, not a long song, very, very radio friendly. It's a sing along, frankly. It's got a lovely, simple chorus, it's got a great beat to it. It's great to bop along to you know, vigorously agree with. And at live shows, it's just a call out moment, isn't it? When everybody sings along to it, lots and lots of people in heavy metal t-shirts all bopping along to I Wish You Were Dead. I hope it stays on the set list for a very, very long time. I think that it's a feel-good song, even though the lyrics, you know, are not particularly feel-good. I really like the lyrics. I think they're really clever, but simple lyrics. I think they... Christina delivers them really, really well. They're a bit kind of gonzo. I particularly like "The Weight of All Time Deletes All Corrupted Files." That came out of nowhere. But I think that the simplicity of the song is its charm, really. You know, it's not particularly heavy at all. I tell you what it does. It gives me the vibe of the song I Like It. Because to me, it feels like it's the band having a bit of fun, okay? You know, they've got this song, they really like the song, made a video for it. It just feels like a fun thing that they wanted to do. Yeah, it's not a classic Lacuna Coil song, and I think that's its charm. It's a fun, fun single. At 2 minutes 52, you can cast it aside and never come back to it. You can skip it and go on to some of the darker things on Sleepless Empire. But I think you're doing it and you're doing yourself a disservice if you skip I Wish You Were Dead, because it's just a fun song. And I'm going to keep saying it because it is really, really fun. I really like it. I'm not sure I liked it the first time. I did like it, but I didn't go, wow, wow, wow. I know a lot of people, a lot of reviews when the album came out were like, okay, the best song on there is I Wish You Were Dead. And I was like, I'm not that person. I don't agree with that statement. But I think that it's a song that is coming to its own the more I've listened to it. And it's definitely unique on the album. And Christina puts in a great performance. Great support from the rest of the band. Yeah, it's kind of all I have to say. It's a great song. I'm glad they brought it out as a single. And I'm glad it's on the set list. And I'm glad they played it live. Right. Mike, do you want to go next, sir?
I think you've covered everything, pretty much. The one thing that I think works better is it works better live to me. I think it's something that's in there that gets everyone pumped up, and then you continue the list of where it is.
Yeah,
as you say, it's short and sweet. Video with it's fantastic and well crafted, and it is one of those left field parts of the album that it's not linked to anything else and standalone. And like you say, you can pick it up and drop it if you don't like it. Yeah. But I really do like it. It's like I Like It version 2, the modern day equivalent of it, and yeah, love it. Really good.
Good stuff. Dave?
I think my review is just four words. What a fucking banger.
There we go. Should put it on a t-shirt.
That's it. You know, that's all I've got. It's absolute perfection in terms of a pop song. You just can't write stuff like that any better.
Mm-hmm.
It's sarcastic. It is dark, but it's not. Because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I suppose, almost, I suppose you could say it's like the music equivalent of like the Munsters, where it's where it's kind of like jokey and jovial and cute, but with a darker undertone.
Yeah.
Musically, it's a little bit typo. Maybe even a little bit, not quite Sisters of Mercy, but that kind of 80s, synth goth kind of feel to it, but yeah, over it's brilliant pop song, absolute perfection.
Earworm, isn't it?
Yes,
it's a Lacuna Coil earworm, is what it is. Obviously, in preparation for the review, I've listened to it a few times today, and I can hear it in my head right now, and I'm struggling to avoid humming it. Okay, because it is really that much of an earworm. Okay, so it's just a simple review then. Nice and simple song, demands a simple review, but what a fun banger, as you put it. In terms of numbers, I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. I think it's such a fun song that I've not bored. You know, I've been listening to the album almost on repeat since it came out, and I always like it when I Wish You Were Dead comes on. Just pops up, doesn't it? You know, I wish you... See, I'm doing it already. See, can't stop myself. It gets crack, you know, it kicks off, and I'm there with it. So, and I think the fact it's at 252 means it's short and punchy,
doesn't outstay its welcome.
Yeah, doesn't outstay its welcome, does it? It's like it's there,
yeah.
And it leaves you wanting more. It leaves you wanting more, doesn't it? I think so. Yeah, 9 out of 10 for me. Really love it. Mike, what about you?
Solid 9. Boom, done.
Nice. Okay, Dave.
10.
Dead.
Absolutely no questions asked from the first second I heard it to the 500th time I heard it. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Wow. I think this is probably the big song on the album so far, right?
Yeah.
2 9 out of 10s and a 10 out of 10. Wow. We certainly don't wish this one were dead. That was shit. I will delete that. I probably won't. There we go. Great stuff. I Wish You Were Dead. Let me shook off now and just kind of bop to it, really. Right.
Bedroom Boogie. Actually, no, that came out wrong, didn't it?
I don't know. I don't think you could ever say Bedroom Boogie and it not coming out wrong, frankly.
That was meant as an innocent dancing to a song you like in your bedroom.
Whatever floats your boat, mate.
Saying it, Bedroom Boogie, out loud. Oh, dear.
There you go. Some things we wish we could keep in our head. Right. Okay. I think we've come to a bit of a close on this post-tour Empty Spiral podcast. I'm not apologising for the 3 a.m. Tour review. I'm really not. If you wanted to skip it, you could skip it. If you want to go back and listen to it again, then, well, you have it permanently now. It exists on the internet. I just want to say, you know, come along. If you want to come on the Empty Spiral podcast, you can do so. Just reach out to us. We're very friendly. Happy to discuss anything as long as it's tangibly related to Lacuna Coil, I suppose. But frankly, even if it isn't, we'll probably have a chat as well. And I just kind of want to say Merry Christmas, Coilers around the world. I hope you have an incredible Christmas, a very festive New Year, and you get to spend time with great music and great friends and maybe even great loved ones. I don't know. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to ask too much of the Christmas spirit. Remember, we choose our friends, not our family. But anyway, what we do, though, is we choose to play Lacuna Coil, and I hope you get a chance to do that as well. Anyway, until next time.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
So long.